Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So this morning we had a really great time. Amen. And we spoke a little bit about a tabernacle. But the whole afternoon, the Lord has really impressed it on my spirit. Before we get into tonight's message, and I'm excited about tonight's message. I really believe that God is going to speak to some people tonight. And we're going to have tabernacle this evening. Amen. But before we do that, I just can't get this out of my spirit. So, you know, Jesus sent out his disciples. He sent them out to go and minister. He sent them out in twos and they came back. And when they came back, they were so excited. And they said to him, "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." Come on. "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." Now, come on, stand up. "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." Come on, now prophesy. "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." One more time. "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." Now, stop. Now, I'm just getting you to quote scripture. Because that's what he said. That's what they said. They came back. They were excited. And they said, "Lord, you won't believe what happened. Even the demons are subject to us in his name." And Jesus got so excited. And the Bible says that he in his spirit, he shouted. He was so excited. And he said these words. He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Come on. "Like lightning from heaven." Let's do it again. Come on. "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Come on again. "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now let's go back. "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." One more time. "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." Now I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. One more time. And then give a shout. "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now shout. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father, tonight in this place, we know that you have given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And even like your disciples that came back and said that even the demons are subject to us in his name. And now, Father, I declare and decree over this region right now that every power and principality must come down from a high place to a low place. You are under our feet. Yes, you foul creature, I break your power in the name of Jesus the Christ. For we are a church. We are a church that stands in righteousness. We are clothed with a cloak of zeal. And we take authority over you. And we bind you now. We break your power in the name of every above every other name. The name of Jesus the Christ. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on! Hallelujah! 1, 2, 3, let's do this one more time. "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." Last time. "Even the demons are subject to us in his name." Yeah! Hallelujah! Sit down. Amen. 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 If it's your first time, just do what we do and you'll fit right in. Amen. No one will know that you're visiting. Amen. We never do stuff like this. Amen. Here at Oceans, it's just this, you know. It's all that's all Larry's fault. Amen. Larry, what are you doing, man? Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I'm really excited about this Feast of Tabernacles and what the Lord is sharing with us. Now, you know, we don't do stuff like that just because. You know, the word is what changes your mind, transforms your mind. It transforms you into His image. We need to begin to understand these principles, basic stuff, really. That when you're walking with Him, even the demons are subject to us in His name. Most Christians, well, I wouldn't say most, but a lot of Christians are afraid of the devil. They're afraid of the boogeyman. Oh, no. Amen. But when you understand that even the demons are subject to us in His name, what are you afraid of? You have nothing to fear. I'll never forget the one time this thing came and hung over my bed. I was so tired, I'd been preaching. And I remember looking up and seeing this thing at the foot of my bed, and the top of this, like a little light. It was like a light, but I knew it wasn't a good light. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm tired, man. I said, Lord, I just don't have the strength. Please get rid of this thing. And the next thing, this bright light comes into my room. And I see that thing just go out the room. Amen. And I tell you, now what you don't maybe know is you're looking at someone who was a child full of fear. I mean, I was so afraid as a child, so full of fear, so scared of something that would go bump in the night. And it was because the enemy wanted to put that fear in me. Now, there are people sitting here and you are very afraid at night. I had no plan to do this. There are people sitting here, you are very, very afraid in the night watches. Now, let me give you a secret. One of the reasons why you are afraid and the enemy desires to come and really put fear in you is because you are prophetic. The enemy will always desire to come and put fear in those who are prophetic so that they will not tap into the secrets of God for their life. Because the devil hates a person who declares God's word, who dares to see the unseen future, who dares to believe that God can do something that will defy nature. Someone that will have the audacity to stand up and say, but God. Amen. So if you are one of those who are so afraid, and oh my gosh, I can feel in the spirit so many of you, I could pull you out right now and pray for you. But God is busy. Amen. God's going to do something very powerful tonight. So let me get to my sermon. Amen. All right, so we're busy with tabernacle, and I don't want to go back to this morning because I really want to get into tonight's message. But one of the things that we're trying to sort of kind of justify, which I don't think we really need to anymore after this morning, but we know that the feasts, we celebrate the feasts because they are the feasts of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says that we should celebrate these feasts. The Bible actually says we should proclaim the feasts, and those feasts belong to the Lord. Yes, they are Israel's feasts, but actually the Bible doesn't call them that. The Bible calls them the feasts of the Lord. The question is, are you of the Lord? Therefore, you celebrate the feasts because they are the feasts of the Lord. Amen. And we saw this morning how powerful it is to go from Passover to Pentecost and from Pentecost to go all the way to Tabernacle. Now, Tabernacle has some very powerful meanings. And I'm going to show you something tonight that maybe you've seen, but maybe you haven't. And I believe it will really encourage you and strengthen you. But I just want to read a few scriptures of just Paul and showing you how Paul in the New Testament celebrated the feasts. Is that okay? Yeah. Just so that we can, you know, the word is good. And what the word does is it builds your faith. So I want to share with you even more how we see in the New Testament they're celebrating the feasts. So in Acts 18 verse 21, it says this, But took leave, this is Paul now, but took leave of them saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 5:8. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, but with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians 16:7-9. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay for a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, celebrating the feasts. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now, I want you to take note of that right there. Do you remember what I said to you this morning? How around the feasts, doors go open. The heavens open. God has an appointed time. That's what feast means in the Hebrew. It's an appointed time. So Paul is saying that an effectual door has gone open. I need to go and celebrate Pentecost because something's busy happening in the realm of the Spirit, and I can see the enemy. Amen. Yo, I like that stuff. Yo, that's the thing we say in Africa. Amen. For a great and effectual door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Acts 20 verse 16. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia. For he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. So we see throughout Scripture in the New Testament how Paul wanted to go and celebrate the feasts of the Lord. How many of you know that we too should celebrate the feasts of the Lord? Not in old leaven, not the old way, the new way. We celebrate the spiritual significance of it. Amen. And what God wants to do. And you'll see tonight how powerful Tabernacle really is. This morning I explained to you that Tabernacle, if you compare it to the different levels of the supernatural, that Tabernacle represents the glory. Why? Because what happened in Tabernacle is the people would go in booths and they would celebrate the goodness of God, what He had done for them. They would celebrate and remember the way that He delivered them supernaturally, like Mike even said this evening. The people would go out and they had no food, they had no water, and God provided supernaturally. He would strike the rock and water would come out of the rock. He would feed them with manna and with birds. Amen. Supernatural provision. In other words, when you trust God, when you start to realize who God is, you no longer live according to this world. You no longer live according to this world system. I was talking to a congregation member, and he was telling me how during the economical crash, all the other businesses like his were busy sinking, and his just kept on going. His just kept on moving. Why? Because he does not live by this economy, this world economy. He lives by the kingdom of God economy. Amen. He lives in the realm of the glory. Supernatural provision. Amen. Supernatural provision. Somebody needs to catch this tonight. Amen. 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 So, in John 6, we see Jesus do some remarkable things. In fact, this is a season in His life where He was really moving very powerfully in the supernatural. We see Him feed the 5,000. How many of you know when someone walks on water, I'd say that's a little bit supernatural. Amen. So in John 6, we see Jesus walk on the water supernaturally. He goes home to His hometown and something takes place in John 7, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for He did not want to walk in Judah because the Jews sought to kill Him. Religion wanted to destroy Him. They could not accept that He was different. They could not accept that the expression that was coming out of Him was different. Let me tell you something. The religious system will always seek to destroy. You see, they don't understand grace. And grace was here in the flesh. How it is that He didn't want to stone the prostitute. Don't you know the law? But He showed mercy. He showed love. Amen. Forget about all the supernatural stuff. That is so supernatural in itself. The way that Jesus operated with absolute true love. You see, true love is not always a kiss. Often a kiss is a kiss from the devil. True love is often firm. If you look at the way he worked with his disciples, you'll see he wasn't always... He was firm. He was disciplining them. He was getting them ready. He was preparing them for what was to come. He had to. They all died. They all had to be martyred. He had to train them and prepare them for that. Can you say amen, guys? Amen. So we see, but they got to see his love, his compassion, not like we see it, not how we perceive it. Our perception is always stuff in the natural. Listen, I'm more interested in what you do in the dark when nobody's looking than what you do in front of people. Amen. You want to, you know, it's God rewards those who do things in secret. Then he'll reward you publicly. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's get back to the word. You guys okay? Oh, it's going to be, I'm excited. Amen. Amen. Now in John 7, verse number 1, this is where the story really gets, we really get into things here. So as I was saying, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Now watch. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Can you imagine? Oh, they all believed later. Don't you worry. Now watch what Jesus says in John 7, verse number 6. Then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. For the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Now watch. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast. Not openly, but as it were, in secret. So we see Jesus' brothers. Obviously, the atmosphere must have really affected him when they didn't believe. Unbelief is a very powerful force that can cause real destruction for anyone ministering. And can cause the atmosphere to really be broken when you're trying to move in the realm of the supernatural. Okay? So we see Jesus now. He goes, he sends his brothers off, and he makes a decision that he's going to go up to Jerusalem, and he's going to go up there in secret because he knows they want to kill him. Now, while he goes up there, he begins to speak in the temple. But, you know, obviously it's all kind of like undercover and you know, he doesn't want everyone to know he's around. And I want to show you something that takes place. Now, I could preach a long story to you, but I want to get to it tonight. Are you guys okay? Because I want to see what God wants to do. But I want to show you something that takes place during tabernacle that the Hebrew people used to do that is very significant. And in fact, I believe is one of the greatest keys to understanding what tabernacle really is all about. Now watch. So, there was a custom done by the priests during tabernacle. It was not in the law, but they did it. It was a ceremony that they did every single year during tabernacles. This is what the priests would do now. On the first day of the feasts, the altar was cleansed in the night watches. Then at midnight, the gates of the temple were open. Now you need to pay attention. While the morning sacrifice was being prepared, the priests, accompanied by a joyous procession, went down to the pool of Siloam. So the priests would go with this procession down to the pool of Siloam. At the pool, the priests would draw water with a golden pitcher. They also brought branches from the Kedron Valley. While the priests blew the trumpets, their branches were struck either side of the altar and it formed a canopy. Then they poured out the wine and they poured out the water from the pool of Siloam that was in that golden pitcher. Then the temple music began and they would sing Psalms 113 to Psalms 118. Now, I can't read all of them to you, but I want to read one to you so that you can see the significance of how powerful the Feast of Tabernacle really is. So while they're busy doing this ceremony in the temple, they begin to sing these Psalms. How many of you know the Psalms actually were sung? Amen. So the priests begin and they begin to sing these Psalms. I'm going to go to Psalm 113. Praise the Lord, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down. Just lost my place there for a second. Okay, let me read it to you over there. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that they may seat Him with princes, the princes of His people. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Can you see how it is describing? It describes people who come out of nothing and get something, who come out of ashes and get raised up. And every one of these psalms is that way inclined. And it speaks of restoration. It speaks of healing. It speaks of deliverance. Can you say amen? It is extremely powerful. Now, it's very interesting that this would take place every single day for the 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacle. This was done 7 days. On the seventh day, now watch, on the seventh day, they circled the altar 7 times in remembrance of the fall of the wall of Jericho. This was done on the seventh day. What you need to know is that during the whole story with Jericho and the walls coming down, do you know that it was on the seventh day of Tabernacle that the walls of Jericho fell down? So the priests would now walk around the altar 7 times and do this ritual 7 times in memory of those of that day. What you need to know, church, is that when the walls come down in your life, you can't stand and wait for the enemy. You have to go in and possess the land that God has given you. You have to go in and possess it because God has given you the authority and the power. And now you must step into it. When the wall falls down and we all shout and get excited, somebody's got to go and do something. Somebody's got to go and fight. Somebody's got to go and do something about it. Can you say amen? Amen. You may take your seats. Thank you. So we see this was obviously very significant, and because this took place during Tabernacle, it was the perfect time to celebrate what had taken place. Very, very powerful. This was done for 7 days, and on the seventh day, they circled the altar 7 times, remembering the falls of the wall of Jericho. They then poured out the water from the pool of Siloam for the last time. Now, you need to understand in the symbolism what this actually means to the Hebrew person. The water and the wine being poured out was symbolic of the outpouring of the Spirit that would be coming when the Messiah came. What they also believed was that when the rain came, this was also symbolic of the outpouring of the Spirit that would come upon the Hebrews and the Gentiles. Now, we're going to get to the punch. Are you ready? Yes. Now, Jesus was in the tabernacle, was in the temple. He had sneaked into the Feast of Tabernacles. And He was there on the last day when this ceremony took place. Now, I want you to pay attention. Watch this. Let's go to John 7, verse 37. Now, you need to think about what's taken place. They've taken this water. They've poured it on the altar. Don't look at the screen. Okay. Which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit that would come upon them when the Messiah comes. Now watch what Jesus does. Verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast. Now you know why that scripture says that. So that you can understand that the last bit of the ceremony had taken place and the water had been poured out on the altar. And Jesus gets up and he cries out and says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke, now you understand why, this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. What you need to understand is he was in the temple with his people. And he gets up and he says, listen, I am fulfilling prophecy right now. If anyone thirsts, let them come and drink from me. What he's busy saying is what you are celebrating here in Tabernacle. He's busy standing right in front of you. I am the Messiah. I am the chosen one. And I am here to declare to you today that you need to come to me and drink. And then John goes on and he says this. He says that he's speaking concerning the Spirit because it's the fulfillment of prophecy. Wow. I mean, double wow. But you know, I like Jesus' style. Because you see, Jesus even prophesied about this not too long before this. If you remember, watch this. Let's all go in our Bibles. In fact, Jesus was on his way. This is now quite a while before this. On his way to Jerusalem. And while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he'd made a decision. In fact, the Bible says that he purposefully went the long way. He had to go to Samaria because in Samaria, he was going to encounter a Gentile woman, the woman at the well. We all know the story too well. And while this woman's busy encountering him, Jesus speaks prophetically to her. And watch what he says because it's so powerful. While she's busy arguing with her about who's drinking and all this stuff, Jesus in John 4, verse number 10, makes this statement. He answers and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who is the gift of God? The Holy Spirit is the gift of God. And who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. If anyone thirsts, let him come and drink. If anyone thirsts, he says, he would have asked and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his son and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, watch, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus makes the statement in the temple, and he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If you had asked him for a drink, he would have given you living water. Living water. The prophecy was being fulfilled right in front of this woman. She had no idea what was busy taking place and how profound the statement was that Jesus made. And he knew exactly what he had to do. Listen, Jesus made no mistakes. Jesus knew exactly every step of the way, every move he made, every word he spoke. There was no mistake. He understood the responsibility of the task that he had. So there was nothing out of place. He knew exactly that he had to go there, that he prophesied it, declared it, decreed it. Then he decides to go, and he decides to tell his brothers to go to Jerusalem first ahead of him, because he knew they wanted to kill him. So then he sneaks into the temple. He goes in there and he waits while they're busy doing and preparing the rich, all these different sacrifices and all this different stuff. And they pour out the water. He gets up and he says, if anyone thirsts, and if you study it in the Greek, you'll see that he doesn't get up and say, if anyone thirsts. He gets up with authority. He gets up with power. And he makes this statement so boldly in front of all those people, knowing very well that it wouldn't be long and he'd be dead. Because he knew it had to be fulfilled. He knew it had to be fulfilled. Everything had to come to this point where it would now finally be fulfilled. You see, one of the things that they would celebrate, as I said to you, there were two things that they were waiting for during tabernacle. The one thing is they would wait, they would celebrate the coming of the Messiah when they poured the water out, they poured the water and the wine, and that would represent that the Spirit would come with the Messiah and it would come upon them. Then they also waited for the rain. When the rain would come during that time, they would believe that that represented the outpouring of the Spirit on the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, I said this morning in the second service, not in the first service, but what you need to understand is these are set times. These are appointed times. One of the things the Hebrew people waited for at every single feast. Why? Because you must understand, from spring to fall, in that season, there is a drought. So they wait during tabernacle for the rain. When the rain comes, they know the blessing is upon them. They know that God's about to pour out His Spirit upon them. They know that something's going to change, that the heavens are going to open, that the blessing is there. I don't know about you, but over the last week, something's been happening in Vero Beach. The heavens have opened. The rain has been falling. The rain has been falling. The rain has been falling. During this Feast of Tabernacle, the rain has come. Now, let's go back to our story. Amen. Are you guys okay? So Jesus continues to have this conversation with this lady. And a little bit later down the line, he makes a statement which brings all of this into conclusion. Watch what he says. Jesus said to the woman in verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is for the Jews." Now watch, because here it comes. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." But what you don't realize is that in verse 21, he makes a very powerful statement. Because you must understand that every single tabernacle, they would go into booths, and they would worship in booths. They would go into the temple, and they would worship in the temple. But Jesus was busy saying that there will be a day, there will be an hour where there will be a people who will not worship in booths, who will not worship in tabernacles, because they will have the Spirit living inside of them, and there will be rivers of living water that will come out of their belly, that will come out of them, because I will fill them with my Spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It brings it all into fulfillment. It brings it all together. Come on, guys. Do you see how prophetic Jesus was? He was the greatest prophet of them all. He really was. It must be so awesome to prophesy about yourself like that. Amen. "I will be in the future." Amen. God does show us stuff about ourselves as well. Amen. But not like that. He was all-knowing. Amen. So now we see just how powerful tabernacle really is. Because what it represents is it represents what we believe is something through Pentecost. And yes, you're right. It is the outpouring of the Spirit. But remember what I taught you this morning. The tabernacle, tabernacle does not represent Pentecost. Tabernacle represents the glory. Why the glory? Because in the glory, we recognize that we can do nothing without Him. In the glory, God doesn't use a man. In the glory, no one touches His glory. In the glory, all things are fulfilled. You see, it couldn't be during this feast, had to be the Feast of Tabernacle, because it couldn't be about the anointing. It had to be about the fullness of God. It had to be about the fullness of Christ. It had to be about Him and Him alone. A man couldn't touch this. This must be His and His alone. And that's why now, in this hour, we will be a people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we will be His tabernacle. We will be His dwelling place. And we will be able to walk out there. And yes, we will trample on serpents and scorpions. And yes, we will speak to the mountain and the mountain will move. And yes, we will speak to that wall and that wall will come down. And yes, we will take authority over the enemy. And yes, we will pray for the sick and they will recover. And yes, we will display His true love. And yes, we will prophesy. And yes, we will cast out demons. Come on, somebody. Yeah! Come on, let's go. Come on. Come on, somebody who's ready to receive that tabernacle. Come on, young people. Come on. Oh, we worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Jesus. Oh, we worship You. Father, this evening in this place, we desire to see Your glory, Lord, to walk in the realm of Your glory. We know that it's not by might or power, nothing we can do, Father, but You said that there would be a people that would worship You in spirit and in truth. They would desire to tabernacle with You, not only once a year, but all the days of their life, in their going in and their coming out. Everywhere they go, Father, they will celebrate. They will have the songs of deliverance on their lips, and they will speak words of wisdom and words of life, and they will encourage, and they will build up, and they will edify. Yes, they will. They will touch the untouched and love the unloved. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. And they will walk with fire in their eyes and passion in their hearts and a hunger for You. For I see a people, a peculiar people. Yes, a people that will no longer look around and see who is watching me when I worship. A people who will lift their hands in adoration and lift their hands and fall to their knees and worship You, Father, and say, surely the hour has come. Surely the hour has come, and now is when the true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Father, we are those. We are those. We are those. And this is the Feast of Tabernacle. And we recognize and remember the things you have done for us, Lord. Yes, we do. And we recognize that Jesus is the fulfillment of all things. Yes, He is. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Word, and in the beginning was the Word. And yes, the Word was God. And yes, Lord, we know that You are all things, and You are all in all. And we worship You tonight, Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are everything. And Lord, tonight in this place, I pray that the rivers of living water, the Spirit of God, that You said, it is better that I go, and I will leave Him here with You, and He will show You things to come, and He will teach You the things that, and He will bring to remembrance those things that I have taught You, and He will be inside of us, and He will dwell within us, and we will be the light of the world. Yes, we will, not by might or power, but by Your Spirit, Lord, for this is the Feast of Tabernacle, and we remember the deliverance of our souls. We remember that day that we committed our hearts and our lives to You. Yes, we do, Father, and we thank You that we are not where we used to be, but we are moving forward. We are moving forward, and Father, in this place tonight, before we ask for anything, we must worship You. We must glorify You. We must lift You up, O God, for You are worthy. Let's worship. Let's worship. Come on.
This is the realm of Your glory. This is the realm of Your grace. I can feel Your mighty power. It is moving in this place. God's glory on the wings, like the voice of many.
Father, now we have worshipped you, and we continue to worship right now, for you are worthy. Father, we remember those things that you have done. The deliverance of the Hebrew people out of Egypt, the Israeli people. We see the provision, the supernatural provision that you gave them in the wilderness, Father. Your hand that was upon them, and all the days of their life, Father, you loved them. Father, now you love us also, for we now also have been adopted. We are now your children, Father, and we love you, Father. We are also the seed of Abraham. We are also one of your covenant children. And Father, during this feast, as we remember our own lives, the goodness of God that has followed us, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the grace, for you have been with us always, even when others have not been. You have been with us always, Father. Always you have been there, Father. You've always been there. And Father, right now in this atmosphere of your presence, in this atmosphere, on this day, in the Feast of Tabernacle, where anything can happen, it's new beginnings, it's restoration, it's supernatural provision, it's healing, it's deliverance. Father, right now, in this place tonight, many in this place have needs, Father. But tonight, Lord, I pray that you will meet the need right there where they are, where they're standing, where they are seated, Father. Lord, you know what they need. And right now, wherever you are in this place, you know what you need from God. And in this atmosphere, in this presence, in this moment, this is a set time. This is a set time where God desires to bless you, where God desires to bless you, to give you breakthrough in your business, in your life, whatever it is that you need. This is your moment. You are a true worshiper. You are His children. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed to ask Him. Lift your hands and worship, and in worship and adoration, cry out to Him right now. Cry out for what you need, and He will meet your need. His glory is in this place. Take from the atmosphere right now. Take from the atmosphere in this place what it is that you need from Him. Take from this atmosphere. Father, we need breakthrough. We need healing. We need deliverance, Lord. We need your presence. We need your presence. We need your glory in this place, Father. None like you. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, Lord. For you and you all things are possible. With you, anything can happen. And your glory is in this place this evening, Father. And we take from that this night. We take from that presence, from that atmosphere. Right now, now just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Just begin to ask. Just begin to seek. Just begin to worship. Just begin to cry out. I can't hear the cry of the people. I can't hear the cry of the people. right in this place. Father, in this night, it is all about you. In this Feast of Tabernacle, as we remember those things that you have done for us, you are worthy of all of our worship, all of our praise, our adoration. It belongs to you. We come, Father, with hearts that are burning for more of you. Our hearts are burning for more of you, Lord. There is none like you. And Father, tonight in this place, if there is anyone here that has not given their lives to Jesus, give your life to Him right now. Give your life to Him right now. If you're here, can I ask you just to put your hands down for just a moment, guys? If there's anyone here that says, Pastor, I need to give my heart to Him tonight. Something has changed. Something's changed in me. Something's touched me tonight in this place. And you say, I desperately need to give my life to Jesus. I desperately need to give my heart to Him. Please don't look around anyone. Please respect this moment. If that's you, just lift your hand real quick and I'll pray for you. Thank you, young man. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand there. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, include me in this prayer tonight. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. You can put it down. God bless you. Anybody else say, this is my night. I need to give my heart to Jesus. If that's you, one more call. Let me see your hand if that's you. If that's you. Thank you so much. If you say, Pastor, tonight, my heart is bursting. I see that hand. My heart is bursting. And I just want to commit everything to Him tonight. If that's you, just lift your hand and I'll include you in this prayer. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. God bless you, all of you. Thank you. Put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you so much. Can we all stand for just a moment? If you can. If you can stand, just stand for a moment. And let's pray this prayer together tonight. Let's pray this prayer together tonight. And those of you that lifted your hands, please pray this prayer. This is your night. Don't let anybody take it away from you. Don't let the enemy steal what God is busy doing with you right now. This is a new beginning, a new day, and a new start for you. Just, I want you to pray with me and say, Father, I come to you tonight, everyone. And I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Say, I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me my sins. I make you Lord of my life. Now come, Holy Spirit, and fill me now. Make me new. Make me whole. Make me fresh and strong. Renew me now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, you now are saved and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Amen. This is the Feast of Tabernacle. And how many of you know that tonight God will answer prayers in this place? You don't need me to pray for you. You don't need me to answer your prayer. You need God to answer you. You need the glory of God. And that's what's come in here tonight. And if you believe it, and if you take from that atmosphere tonight, anything can happen. Amen. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter how dark it is. This is the hour of visitation. This is a set time of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Let's close. Father, we thank you. We thank you tonight for what you have done in this place. Oh God, it is so good to worship you. It is so good to praise you and honor you in this place with these precious people that love you so much, that come week after week hungry and thirsty for more of you. And you said, if anyone thirsts, let them come and drink from you. So here we are, Lord, and we are thirsty and we desire to have a drink from you, to have a drink from your Spirit, to be changed, to be transformed, to be renewed, to turn into the other man, the one that you've called us to be, Father. Let us grow from strength to strength, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. Let us never be the same again. Lord, let this Feast of Tabernacle resonate in us all the days of our lives, and let us never forget that there is only one way, there is only one life, there is only one truth. And his name is Jesus the Christ. Everybody, let's say, Jesus! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every one of you as you leave tonight. You will feel as you leave that the weight has been lifted, the burden has been broken, and you will leave with peace, with joy, and you will feel refreshed. Go in that peace, go in that way, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.